He was one of nearly 157,000 people to watch a college football game this past Saturday at Bristol Motor Speedway. Find his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com. He'll be at the Battle of the Blue Bloods in Norman. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. Good afternoon to you, George. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm great. Love this time of year. What are you kidding me? I'm not going to say I'm embarrassed to get paid, but it's easier to get paid now.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all.
All right, but we're still going to take the cash. Every so often, I ask you about experience. Think about all the neat stuff you've witnessed, classic venues, Final Fours, of course, being on this show. in NASCAR country, SEC country, a motor speedway into a football stadium, two pretty prominent programs. Describe that scene and how everything worked for a football game.
Well, it was, you know what? We'll probably overuse this word, but it was epic in the sense of an old movie epic where you have sort of this unbelievable sea of extras and it's just sort of this vast scale. I don't know that I knew what to expect, but once you got into it, it was unbelievable to see sort of the sea of Tennessee orange and then, most of the Virginia Tech fans wore maroon. It was just the scale of it was so magnificent in sort of meaning in the numbers sense of that word. It was an awesome sight. Now, that said, the actual football was played on a football field way down there. It was sort of hard to see. But it was really a cool event as a one-off. I do think they're going to try to do this again there and other places in similar type events, and I don't know how well it'll come off, frankly. But as a one-off, it was really something spectacular.
Go ahead. My bad. I interrupted.
No, I'm good. There were not a great seat in the house, but just being a part of it was a pretty cool deal, I suspect, for most of the people. And look, you could see the game, and they have a giant video board. They call it Colossus. It's not as big as some of the stadium's video boards that we see in college football nowadays, but it was really big and good enough to watch the game on. And down below, you had the game, and the sound in terms of the crowd was incredible. So it was a fantastic event.
I had never realized how big those places were. 8 years ago, I visited a cousin of mine who lived outside Orlando, and we drove up to Daytona, and I saw the Super Speedway. And I had seen Yankee Stadium and big college venues. But to people who may have never seen, just the magnitude of how big, and I don't even think Bristol's a super speedway. That's just a motor speedway.
Well, it is. It's a half-mile track, which is what made it work. To the extent that it worked to put a football game in there, it's a short track for NASCAR. It's only a half mile. It's 0.533 mile, which, basically it's – so if you think about it, that means the infield is it's only double the size of the infield, say, at Hayward Field.
Oh, right.
If
that's
you think
a quarter
about
mile.
It, because the track itself is only double that size. Now it's wider and it's banked and it's not the same thing, no question. So – the fans are right on top of a race because it's a tight little coliseum for that. Now, the problem is you stick a football field in the middle of that infield and it's dwarfed by the magnitude of the building. This would not work, in my opinion, at Daytona or Texas Motor Speedway or some of these places around the country where the tracks are a mile and a half, the circumference is a mile and a half. Wouldn't work.
I gotcha. Wow.
Now, it doesn't mean somebody won't try, but it wouldn't work. But it worked here because of that. And frankly, it also worked because of the matchup. Tennessee's 110 miles away. You're right in the heart of Tennessee Falls country there anyway. But the university is 110 miles away. Virginia Tech's 130 miles away. You're right on you're 5 or 6 miles from the Virginia border. There's a ton of Virginia Tech fans that live in and around the area. And it was an easy day trip for a whole lot of people. So it made a lot of sense. And by the way, it's two pretty passionate fan bases who would love to be a part of this. And, I don't know if that works as well if it's Kentucky and North Carolina trying to play football. And I'm thinking of two other sort of similar, equidistant points of the compass type of places. I don't think it would really work. It worked because they were two big football fan bases that were pretty close.
Well, it looked spectacular. It was real and it was spectacular. I've heard from lots of people this week, including some Alabama fans around here. We saw Nick Saban go nuts on his offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin. He clarified it was not a debate but a chewing out. I mean, they're winning the game. They're the defending champs. Kind of curious as to your thoughts. Such a high-profile figure in the game doing something like this out in the open?
Well, it's hard to figure out. Look, in the moment, they weren't playing as well as they probably could have. That said, I don't think they're going to play as well as they did against USC most weeks. Maybe not ever again. And by the way, that wasn't a tremendous offensive effort. That was a series of big plays after a really sluggish offensive start that finally broke the thing open. The big plays broke the thing open. And then it turned into a rout, and they looked fantastic. But they've got some growing pains to do as an offense. Their defense is really good. You know, you're not going to learn a whole lot at all in a game like they played last weekend against a lesser opponent. But you know, their defense is really good. Their offense is going to be, you know, going to go through some growing pains. But I think part of the deal with Nick Saban is this. After the way the USC game went, he feels like, in addition to the actual opponents that they're going to face who will cause them some problems, and there are going to be some of those. This is not just a juggernaut that's going to roll over everybody. In addition to those opponents, he now also has to battle the idea that the players are going to think, hey, we are all that, and you know, and maybe they're not going to take sort of seriously some of the motivational things that they need to take seriously. I think that's part of this. And one other thing, too. The Nick Saban-Lane Kiffin relationship is a fascinating dynamic because it is a situation that neither really enjoys and likes very much. It's a situation where both see the benefits to each other because Lane Kiffin has made their offense better. They're not nearly as good the last 2 years, and probably this year too, as they have been with Lane Kiffin, especially with the new quarterbacks each year. He's a really good offensive guy. Lane Kiffin sees it as a way to rehabilitate himself and get a head coaching job again. And so they're sort of making do with each other, but they're not, you know, buddies. And so it's a tense relationship,
to say the least. We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. 10 years ago Friday, the referees awarded Oregon the ball on an onside kick. They had kind of a tainted victory over Oklahoma. Saturday, it was the Cowboys losing on a Hail Mary to Central Michigan. So what do you think? Is it the one in a million times that maybe the result should be changed? And what's been the reaction in your home state?
Look, whatever anybody thinks about what happened in the replay gate thing with Oregon and Oklahoma, it's a different situation than what happened with Oklahoma State, in that the Oklahoma State thing was the final play of the game, and it was a game that was an untimed down that should not have been awarded. By rule, should not have been awarded, so it should never have happened. You know, the onside kick happened. There was obviously time left in the game for Oregon to take the ball and drive down the field and score, and then even more time for Oklahoma to try to kick a field goal, am I right?
Yeah, Garrett Hartley got the kick blocked.
Right, so then there was more time to effect change. Was it a tremendously bad call? Yes, it was. And you know, but there was time for, if you don't like the call, stop them, and they didn't. And so it's different than this situation. This situation, it's, look, no game is going to be reversed after its final. If there was ever going to be one of those, it would have been a year ago when the Miami Duke 58,000 laterals on the kickoff debacle came to pass. And as it turned out, the replay refs should have seen that one of the guy's knees was clearly down before he lateraled it. But that didn't get overturned, didn't get reversed later. And this isn't going to get reversed, and it shouldn't, because when the game goes final, it's final. That's the way it goes. But I will tell you this, it is a blatant blown call by the MAC crew, Mid-American Conference crew, that was doing this as a non-conference game. You know, other than in the Pac-12, they've always used their own officials for non-conference games. In other leagues, it's fairly standard to write a contract where the visiting team's conference's officials do this, or the guys that do it, that do the game. So it was a MAC crew, but it was Big 12 replay refs in the booth, because it's also standard to use the local school's replay refs because they use the same equipment, and it's just, you know, it's an easier transition. There's no transition at all. So the MAC crew blew it on the field, but the Big 12 crew blew it in the booth. They could easily have buzzed down and said, hey, wait. I'm not sure that that's the right thing to do in untimed down, and nobody did. And one other thing, if Mike Gundy knows the rule, he can protest and say, wait a second, there's no untimed down on a penalty when there's a loss of down. And, you know, but nobody did. So I don't know where I was going with that. It's a horrible debacle, and it's a bad deal for Oklahoma State, but I'll give you one other thing, too. If you just make that play, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, stop the Hail Mary?
If you stop the Hail Mary, or if you tackle the guy after the lateral, you know, it works out pretty well for you, too. And then we can just argue about it from it. So, I mean, there's always – it's a terrible outcome for Oklahoma State, but – how about you make some plays earlier in the game, or even just make that one play that shouldn't have been made, you make it instead of letting them make it.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
Anyway, there you go. That's my curmudgeon of the week right there.
Nice. George Schroeder, USA Today on the site, catches the top five college games to watch. Louisville, Florida State, Lamar Jackson facing the number two Noles. What about this game, the injury factor hitting FSU? Now they got to prepare and stop this offense.
Yeah, and listen, I think the loss of Derwin James, who's a superstar at safety, and he's out at least 5 to 7 weeks after hurting his knee, and he's having surgery to repair the meniscus that was torn. That's a big, big, big deal for them. Now, I will say this. I think there are three programs right now in college football that have recruited at such a level above everybody else that they are just bristling with talent, and they sort of replace people in much the same way that a shark replaces his teeth. And that's Alabama, Florida State, and Ohio State, not necessarily in that order, but I think they're one of those three programs that are recruiting at a different level and have done so for over the past few years to where they're in a spot where if anybody can overcome losing that guy, they're one of those guys, one of those three few teams. That said, it's going to be a youngster and an experienced guy. And Lamar Jackson is clearly an emerging star at Louisville. I suspect that Florida State's going to be too much offensively for Louisville to handle. But Lamar Jackson is fantastic, fun to watch. He's not going to have the same kind of game against them that he had against Syracuse. Florida State's defense is a little bit different than Syracuse's. But he's really good. And that is an upset special waiting to happen if Florida State is, you know, slow starting at all.
He is fun to watch.
No question.
In Oxford, it's Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Ole Miss won the Sugar Bowl last year. They've got Bama. I bet you most people have forgotten who's beaten the Tide in back-to-back seasons. Although the odds makers have the Tide pretty solid, 10-point favorite. What do you see that might give the Rebels a shot to make it three?
Well, I mean, look, their offense is such that it gives Bama's defense fits. And, look, this is a really good Alabama defense. It might end up being the best defense of the Nick Saban era since he began the shift to different body types on defense to try to combat the hurry-up spread that everybody was starting to kill his traditional defense with. This might end up being the best of those defenses. That said, Ole Miss has got a bunch of good offensive players who can really play. Chad Kelly's the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. They're going to need to play a full game. If they can play a full game the way they played the first half against Florida State, they got every shot to beat Alabama. The other thing I would say is this. Ole Miss's defensive line, everybody goes, oh, they lost Robert Kemdichi. They've got a ton of really good defensive linemen. They've got the kind of defensive line that could cause Alabama all sorts of problems. And now you've got this true freshman quarterback going into his first hostile road environment for a night game. And, you know, who knows? You asked me to drop the scenario in which Ole Miss could win its third straight. That's it. It's not that outlandish a scenario. I think Alabama wins, but it's not a far-fetched idea that Ole Miss wins the thing.
All righty, let's finish with the game you're going to cover. Talk about Blue Bloods, Ohio State, Oklahoma. I actually remember one of the two games they played when I was a junior in high school back in 77, Switzer and Woody Hayes. I think they played again in 83. Sooners have the loss already to Houston. They've got to win this if a playoff's reality. What, though, overall makes this one just so magnificent? What are you looking for here?
Well, it's a uniform game. I mean, it's, you know, The AP came out with that list last month of the top all-time programs as ranked by the AP poll, and those teams were 1 and 2. but however you rank them and whatever the metric is, that's two of your top five all-time programs, I think people would probably say. And what makes it interesting, so it's a cool name game. What makes it interesting is it's not quite as big a game as it would have, could have, should have been if Oklahoma had beaten Houston. But it still has playoff implications for both teams. And both teams are still, you know, firmly in the hunt for this season's playoffs. So you've got two all-time powers who are playing for really high stakes this season. It's not like one of them is going through a down period or whatever. Now, you know, we'll see what happens. You're correct in that it's a must-win for Oklahoma. And I actually think Ohio State's probably going to win it. I think Ohio State, I mentioned them a few minutes ago when you asked about – Florida State and Louisville. Ohio State is one of the three programs that has recruited since Urban Meyer got there at a level that's unlike other schools, and they have talent all over the place. And, you know, 44 of their 85 scholarship players had not played a collegiate snap going into the season, but they're all really highly touted guys, and now they've played two games. They've got two games under the belt. This will obviously be their first test. They weren't tested at all in the first two games. They were nice warm-ups, but it sort of allowed them to break the seal, and we'll see what happens. And I also like starting the deal with the JT Barrett, who's, you know, maybe playing like the 2014 JT Barrett.
Before he got hurt,
That's a good place to start. So I actually think they're probably going to win it. I'm not going to be surprised if Oklahoma does win it. I think they're better than the team that showed against Houston. But, you know, that's going to have to be proven, I think. I really like Ohio State. I think they're really, really good. And I think by the end of the season, they've got every chance to be as good as anybody in the country. And they may show that Saturday.
Vegas sees it tight, so got to pay attention there. Again, you could follow George on Twitter. The handle's at George Schroeder. Catch all he has to offer for USA Today Sports, usatoday.com. You enjoy your trip to Norman. Thanks for all the great insight. As always, be well, and we will speak with you next week.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.